Well, we've been in a series called Doers of the Word. We just got done praying about that, we've been talking about being doers of the Word. Let's go ahead and turn over to James 1:22, or it's on your scripture sheet there as well. But let's turn over there. James 1:22. I think this is our fourth message in the series. Thank God. God is so good. James 1:22. Everybody there? It says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." Now we read it in the voice version. Go ahead and look at on your sheet there. It says, "Put the word into action." If you think hearing is what matters most, you are going to find out you have been deceived. If some fail to do what God requires, it's as if they forget the word as soon as they hear it. One minute they look in the mirror, and the next they forget who they are and what they look like. However, it is possible to open your eyes and take in the beautiful, perfect truth found in God's law of liberty and live by it. If you pursue that path and actually do what God has commanded, then you will avoid the many distractions that lead to an amnesia of all true things, and you will be blessed. Now, we've spent a few weeks here, and we just to recap a little bit, we talked about, first of all, notice in verse 22, it says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." In the voice, it says, "Put the word into action. If you think hearing is what matters most, you are going to find out you have been deceived." So we talked about hearing. Sometimes there's an overemphasis on hearing. We may read it here in a minute, but the Bible says faith comes by hearing. We need to hear. But sometimes, if all you do is hear, and you hear from all kinds of sources, you can get confused, and just hearing is not going to lead to be a blessing. It's not going to help us. We could just sit there and hear, and we said it's like eating. If all you do is eat, let's say you're training, you know, trying to do bodybuilding or something, and you're training, if all you do is eat, even if you ate the right foods, what's going to happen? You're going to, you know, end up like Arnold Schwarzenegger? Nope. You got to do something, right? It's not just the hearing. It's not just the eating. It's you got to do. Well, it's the same thing with the Word of God. We sometimes, I mean, thank God for all the availability of all the Word now. I mean, you don't even need a device. I mean, you don't even need a media, physical media. You don't need a tape. You don't need a CD. You don't even need a thumb drive. You just need something that gets you on the internet, and you can listen to more messages than you could ever do in a lifetime, probably. So it's available. That doesn't mean we need to spend all our time listening. If we listen and listen, you want to listen and get things in you, but you don't want to just listen to everything and just all kinds of stuff. You'll get confused. And you won't, you can only, like we said, you can only digest so much at once, right? You know, we're about to go to Pennsylvania in a couple weeks, mention this. But they have these buffets there, smorgasbords. And they have truckloads of people, tourists come up and pull up there and pay the $25 or whatever, $30 to get a all you can eat. Well, it doesn't matter who you are, you can only eat so much. It doesn't matter how much you like the food. And they can have all this stuff. You know, my parents here, I mentioned, they can attest to this. We once in a while, we go to these buffets sometimes after church on a Sunday, and it was a treat. We would love it as kids to go to these buffets because you could have a little bit of this and that, and they'd have the little desserts. And you could try this one, you could try that. And we would stuff ourselves. You just get, you'd go to the ice cream, and then you get to make your own sundae, and we would love it, but the thing is, you couldn't eat enough. You could only eat so much, and then that's it. Well, it's the same thing. It doesn't matter how much stuff you have available, you can still only digest so much. And it's the same thing spiritually. You can only act and digest on so much, and so hearing is good, but notice what it says. I like the way it says it in the voice. It says, put the word into action if you think hearing is what matters most. See, it matters, but it's not the only thing. If you think hearing is what matters most, you are going to find you have been what?
Deceived.
So just because you've heard something, that doesn't mean you know it. And we talked about this, right? There's all kinds of things you can know. You want the guy on your team that that reads about the sport or that actually can play the sport? What if he can, you know, list all the players and all the rules and all the statutes? Does that mean he can play the game? No. Knowledge is good, but the Bible says knowledge puffs up. Love builds up. You can get to where people think they know this and they know that because they heard it 10 years ago, but that's not the same as they've done it. When you do something, you find out a thing or two about it. Doing things is a whole lot different. When you've been through it and do it, you're like, oh, okay, now I see why this, where the challenge and where the pain points are. You know, when you've done something, walked in a certain area, doesn't it make you, or it should, doesn't it make you a little easier on the people that are walking in that area? Huh? It's so easy to say, well, that would be easy. Well, have you done it? You know? Any number of things. You walk through a certain thing, you see, oh, this is what somebody's facing when they're going, oh, yeah, it's not so easy. Oh, they had this. I thought it was just that they just, you know, I thought you just stood there and just threw the ball to the guy that's just running across. I didn't realize there were several guys coming at me. I had a limited field of vision. I couldn't see anything. I mean, there's a whole different thing, and it's like that in every area. You do something in a certain area, you don't, unless you've walked through it, you don't know all the pain points and all the challenges. Things look easy. Well, it's the same thing with the Word of God. Oh, well, I heard that. Why don't you just do this in this area? Let me tell you something. If you haven't walked through something what somebody's dealing with and overcome it, you don't know how you'd respond. Did you hear me? Now, if you walk through it, you've overcome that thing, you were victorious, well, you know. I don't think that would make you arrogant about it. I don't think that would make you want to tell everybody what to do. You'd probably say, yeah, I've been there, I know that. But for you to say, oh, if I were in that situation, I'd just do this and I'd do the word here and do it. Well, do you know? You don't know how you'd respond. Right? We ought not judge. We just stay with the Word of God. But anyway, knowledge puffs up. So knowledge, you can think, well, I know this, I know that. Well, that's when you hear all these things. It can be like, well, see, I know that, I know that. The doing is what's going to lead to blessing. So we covered some of that. And we also covered, we just started talking about last week. So you have, if you look at this verse, it says, but be doers of what? Of the word, not hearers only. So you're not just supposed to hear, you're supposed to do. But what are you supposed to do? What does it say? Be doers of what?
The word.
The word. You know, you can do stuff. You can be a doer, but be doing the wrong thing. So you don't want to just hear and not do, but it matters what you hear. And it matters then what you do. Because some people are really zealous about the wrong thing. They're going 100 miles an hour in the wrong direction. Does it matter what you do? Does it matter what the word, what does it say that we're supposed to be doers of? The word of God. Not what somebody said. We touched on a little bit last week. There's a difference between being doers of the word and being a doer of what somebody preached. Me or anybody else. It's got to come back to what does the word say. Some people get in a fight. Well, this person says this. This person says this. I like what this. Who cares? Just because somebody said something, what does the Bible say? Thank God that we have people that can help us understand what the Bible said. But it ought to go back and say, God's word says this. Because, you know, that's what's going to stand. Right. And we read last week, look at your sheet. Psalm 12, verse 6 and 7, it said, "The words of the Lord are pure words, like silver tried in a furnace of earth. Purified seven times, you shall keep them, O Lord. You shall preserve them from this generation forever." See, the word of God, it's purified, it's tried, it's tested. It will stand for all time. Amen. The words of men? No. Words of men that attest to truth, that is God's word, all of it is truth. And people say different things and have taught different things. There's different philosophies, but the only ones that are going to stand, the only ones that are going to lead to truly being blessed are those that are God's word, that you can go right back and say, "See, that's true." You know, there's a lot of sayings that people have. They quote them like they're scripture. And they're not. Sayings. I mean, I'm talking about, they'll just say, "Well, you know, blah, blah, blah." And it's not scripture. It's just something that people, if you can find scripture that supports it, then yeah, you can say it. But just because you have a saying doesn't mean it's true. See, some people are holding to sayings and something maybe they heard from their parents or from, I don't know, a book or whatever, and it's not God. But they've done it since they were 5 years old. They heard it, and well, that's the truth. But that's not what's going to stand. We understand there are people all over the earth that are following things that have been practiced by their forefathers that aren't based on the Word of God and that are wrong. Somebody a long way back got off and have just passed it down. That doesn't make it right. Well, we've been doing this for 400 years. Well, could be the wrong thing for 400 years. But they do it. There are people all over the world that are doing it, man. They're serious about it. Huh? And we're dealing with some stuff right now. There's some people that are really serious about totally the wrong thing. And they think it's God. But you can line it up with the Word real quick and find out it's not. It's not God. So it's not just about being doers. Well, it might be real obvious in some ways. You say, "Well, there's certain things that's just real obvious. Obviously, that's not God." Well, it becomes more subtle. The devil is a deceiver. He is the master con artist. And he's not stupid. You know, in one sense, you can make the case he's stupid because, you know, he went to something because of what he did on Jesus. I mean, he crucified Jesus, which led to our salvation. But on the other hand, he has been around for we don't know how long. Millennia, for sure. And he knows people better than you do. You think you know some stuff? He knows the human condition way better than any person on the face of the earth. He is subtle. So he doesn't just come in blatant. Just like if you had somebody that was a con, what makes them a good con? Because they're tricky. I mean, you think they're telling the truth, but they're not telling the truth. Well, the devil's the father of lies. He's not a liar. He is the father of it. And he is a master. So if he can get some people just to flat out worship him. Some people do. Satan worship. They'll cut themselves and offer sacrifice. Okay. A few people are going to bite on that. There's a whole lot of other people that think they're worshiping God and think even they may be Christians, but then they take certain things and it's not really the Word of God. Mm-hmm. But they've looked at something and taken it as truth, and it's not truth. You can't find scripture to support it. And you know, the devil knows the Bible. He'll twist scripture and he'll take a portion of it and say this is truth. He'll beat you over the head with scripture. God will never beat you up.
That's right.
The Bible says your heart condemns you. your own heart. And that can be because you're taught wrong or because you're doing, if your heart, if you're feeling guilty, it's not God. God will never beat you up. He'll never beat you over the head. He'll tell you what, now, he's not soft. He won't just say, oh, that's okay. He won't do that. But he'll tell you, son, daughter, you ought to be over here. But he won't add to it, you idiot, you should have gotten it by now. That's the enemy. He will take it. He'll beat you over the head. But if you hear that voice constantly and you think it's God and you just don't measure up, I'll tell you right now, it's not God.
That's right.
Did you hear me?
Yes.
It's not him. That's not the way he does things. He'll correct you, but it's not. It's always a positive thing. Look, you need to be doing this. This is going to hurt you. Come over here. But he's not going to throw you to the junk heap. He's not going to say, "You're not. Why didn't you get this by now?" That's not how he operates. He's good, but he's not soft. He doesn't wink and say, "Oh, that's all right." No, if you love somebody, you're not going to go, "Hey, it's okay. Go do that. It's going to destroy you." But go ahead. He's not going to do that. He'll say, "Hey, that's not what you need to be doing." And he'll show you. The Holy Spirit, he will prompt you. See, conviction and condemnation are two different things, and people have gotten them confused. He will prompt you. But people have been, people have followed religion and done religion wholeheartedly, serious. I'm serious about it. I believe this. Okay. Where are the scriptures that support what you believe? Because for something to be scriptural, you have to have scripture. There's a whole lot of people believing a whole lot of things, even in Christianity. I believe this. I just believe it should be like this. Okay, where are the scriptures? Amen? Because we're talking about doing the word. What is going to stand for all time? Somebody's opinion? Or the Word of God? The Word of God will. What if somebody's internationally known and says it? Does that mean it's right? You got people that aren't even godly that are in, like we said last week. They'll pack out places. You advertise them, they got all kinds of followers. But is it based on God's Word? There's philosophies that people say, well, this is the way to do life. Okay. Good. How do we know if it's right or not? What's the standard? See, the Bible says here, the word has been purified. It's like silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. It's already gone through. There's nothing impure, nothing impure about God's word. It will stand.
Amen.
In any situation, it's right. Well, I don't like what it said. Then we have a misunderstanding of Scripture. Because it's always right. It's always pure. I mean, I don't want to follow some man's opinion about something and find out when it's too late, I was just following him. Do you? Do you want to be a guinea pig?
No.
I don't want to be a guinea pig. Oh, we were wrong. How many times have you heard that? I'm not trying to be mean. Mm-hmm. I mean, thank God for researchers. Thank God for what people do. But I mean, I'm not even that old. But I've heard so many, and you know, I've said this, but there's so many different times where you see a study that contradicts the thing that they just came out with a little bit ago.
Right. Right.
So do you want to go through life like this? Oh, this is good for you. This isn't. This is the way you ought to live. Oh, wait, we found out that'll kill you. Do you want to go through like that? Or just follow? God has already figured it out. Now, you got to be led by the Spirit for your individual self on certain things. And that's where we have the Word of God, or the Spirit of God, but it will always, 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 what He says, the Spirit of God in your own individual life, will always line up with the Word of God.
Amen.
If somebody says, God the Lord, and you know, this is way, 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 way overused. People say, the Lord told me. Yeah. What are you going to do with that? Somebody tells you the Lord did it, and you're like, I can think of five scriptures that contradict that. But somebody thinks that the Lord told them, well, you know, it's got to line up with the Word of God. If you can see scripture that contradicts what they say the Lord told them, it wasn't the Lord. Period. Was not God. I don't care what kind of experience they had. I don't care if they saw a vision. I don't care if they saw flashing lights. It wasn't God. If it contradicts scripture. But the Word is what's going to stand. Look at Psalm 119. Verse 1, blessed are the undefiled in the way, on your sheet there, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep what? His testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. What are we to keep? His testimonies. What if you're really zealous and you just go all after it and it's somebody's opinion? Is that going to work? It's not going to work. It may look good for a while, but ultimately, we're not even talking about any given area in your life. God's Word will not take from one area and make you suffer in an area and be blessed in another area. Some people are saying they're going 100 miles an hour, and this area of their life looks good, but this other part's a time bomb. God's Word will never do that. His Spirit will never lead you like that, ever. Never, ever. Doing His Word will never lead to that. It's His Word, not what people say. And people will say, God told me. I'm talking about people that are sharing. God told me this is wrong. I'm talking about preaching. The Lord told me to share this. Okay? Where are the scriptures that back up what he told you to share? Do you know a lot of people are listening to stuff because it's spectacular? And they're impressed, and they, you know what they think? It must be God. No, it doesn't. It doesn't have to be God because it's spectacular. Are you kidding me? The Bible says that Satan comes as an angel of light. He's not stupid. He knows how to fool people. Brother Hagin had multiple visions of Jesus. And you can read about him. He has a book called I Believe in Vision that recaps a lot of them. But even when he would be talking to Jesus and the way he relates it, as Jesus is talking to him, he says, well, now, Lord, I need to see that in the Bible. In one case, he said, now, Lord, I'm going to need at least three different references on that in the New Covenant. That, you guys said, that upends anything that I've ever heard in my theology. That upends my theology. He said, I'm going to need scripture. And he said, I need at least three different references. And the Lord told him, I'd do you one better, I'll give you four. God's not threatened. He's not going to be put off. It says the Bereans went and searched the scriptures. They didn't just take everything in. Oh, you say it. Oh, you seem to know what you have, a spectacular testimony. It must be from God. People get off in the weeds like that. And then they go and follow it, and you know what? They end up hurt. They end up disillusioned with God. And it wasn't God to begin with. God's a good God. He never changes. But people have attributed things to God, and people have followed things they thought were God, and they become hurt, and it hasn't worked, and then God gets the blame. God is not our problem. That's right. I said, God is not our problem. Right. Oh, He is good. Yes. He is a good God. His words will stand. They're always true, always right. He has a will. His will is for us to be blessed in every way. You know, I use this example because, you know, if you have children, you know what it means. If you have children, or even if, you know, some people haven't had a good upbringing, and so they can't relate to certain, they have trouble relating to certain things. But if you're a parent and you love your children, your will for them is all good. As a parent, I can't imagine thinking, you know, my will for my kid, I want them destroyed today. I want them to just feel pain here. Now, I'm not talking about discipline where they need to understand some things or else it really is going to hurt them. No, that's godly. But just seeing somebody's life messed up, no parent wants that for their kids, do they?
No.
You know, kids may think that sometimes, like my parent is just trying to make me miserable. We all, as a teenager or something, you might think, why are they doing that? Why won't they just let me do so-and-so? And then you find out why they didn't let you, and you're like, oh, thank God.
Yeah.
Hmm? I had good parents. They're sitting here. They didn't let me do some stuff. Thank God. Thank God they didn't let me. I had a praying mom. Thank God, you know, and a dad that was godly. Thank God they didn't let me just do everything. Thank God I didn't come home and see, you know, drugs being done and everything. That would have hurt me in life. But they had good intentions for me all the time. I never questioned whether they wanted good for me. They weren't out to hurt me. God's not. If God is saying something, it is never, ever to hurt us in any way, shape, or form. If he ever asks us to do something, you just chalk it up. He's got our best interest in mind. He ever asked you to get involved in something, he ever asked you to give something, don't ever think, well, why do I have to give that? Not that he'll ever twist it. God does not twist anybody's arm. Have you noticed that? Do you realize people are going to hell every day and he lets them? If he was going to make anybody do anything, he would make them get saved. But he does not do this. And some people have God all wrong. People are begging people to get involved with God's work. That's a misrepresentation of God. Did you hear me? I'm going to say it again. I don't know if you guys are processing or what. Begging people to try to get involved with what God's doing. Oh, well, you just... It's like this mentality of, oh, just, you know, we just need help. Can you try? That's a misrepresentation of God. God's not begging anybody to do anything. And as a church and as Christians, we ought not either. You guys with me?
Amen.
He is not that way. He is right. He is going on. He loves people, but he gives everybody a free will.
That's right.
And you get to make your own decisions. And he will ask you like a gentleman to do something. But if you say no, he's not going to force you. He won't force you. But if he asks you to do something, he's setting you up to help you. Always. And you say, but it hurts. I don't want to do that. Well, maybe something needs to change in what we're doing. But it's never good. He doesn't just do stuff. Come up with stuff to make somebody go through something to suffer. That's not him. That's religion. People have made that junk up. He doesn't do that. I said he does not do that. If he asks you, think about it. Again, the parent may ask the child to do something, young person to do something. The kid may go, why do I got to do that? I don't want to do that. I don't want to stop doing that. But you as a parent, you're looking going, I know where you're going. And this is going to help you. You don't like it now. It may hurt now. May have to change something now. But where you're going, oh, you're going to look back. Has anybody ever had an experience where you stopped doing something, started doing something, and you are so glad you did? You didn't like it when you're going through it, but you're so glad you made that change. See, God's already out here. His words and his statutes are already exactly what we need. Now, he's going to lead us and show us what we need to act on at any given time. Thank God he doesn't dump it on you all at once, because if everybody was saying, you know, here's the checklist of what you need to get right, Come talk to me when you're done. No, he'll say, son, daughter, focus on this. Just change this. And some of we're like, oh, but I got all these things. No, but he knows. He is the master manager. He will say, just work on this thing. Change this. You get that going. Then he'll say, now this. And you know, he knows the best way to change it, to make it. See, we may be helped by men. Thank God for medical doctors. Thank God for education. Thank God for what we do know, because it saved a lot of people's lives. But I don't care what the program is. I don't care what the method is. You are still limited by somebody's experience and their way of attacking a problem. God is unlimited. With God, all things are possible.
Amen.
Everybody say, with God, all things are possible.
All things.
Say that one more time. With God,
all things are possible.
Do you know how he knows how to get out of every situation right now?
Yes.
It's not even a mystery to him.
Yes.
Did you know it?
Yes.
There is nothing. You say, well, this is really hard. For God?
Nothing.
For him? Do you realize you could ask anything, you would come to him and say, God, this is shattered. He said, I know what to do. Huh? Is there anything that he couldn't fix?
Nothing.
He knows from the beginning, he already knew what to do. He always has known. And what he does, he doesn't have to guess. He doesn't have to go, well, let's try this. In your situation, I've seen it, you know, 1.5 million people. Here, let's try this for you, but I'm not sure. Come back. He says, no, do this, and guess what? It's right. His truth has always been right, and it always will be right. And the first time he said it, it was right, and it doesn't need to be updated. It works for 2017. But you know, we just got major problems now. Yeah, and God knows how to fix every one of them.
That's right.
Do you realize if we did, according to the Word of God, what we needed to do as a country, we could be back on track in no time.
Amen.
Do you realize he knows what to do?
Yeah.
It's not that hard. We get in there and we mess stuff up. Well, it's the same in every area. Psalm 119, verse 89 says, forever, Lord, your word is settled in heaven. It's settled. It's settled. It was right when he said it, and it's true now. Being a doer of what he said will work. It will. Always. Hallelujah. Go ahead and turn over to Romans 10. This is good news.
Amen.
It's good news. I think you don't have to figure everything out. I don't have to figure everything out. You know what we do? We just go to him and figure out what he already knows. Follow him. Follow his plan. Follow his word. You don't need a study. Figure out if it's going to work. It's going to work. It's settled. Look at Romans 10, verse 10. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness. Everybody there? It's on your sheet. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent, as it is written, "How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, 'Lord, who has believed our report?' So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Go back to verse 11. It's talking about being born again. It says, "Whoever believes on him will not be put to shame." Well, whoever believes on him, we won't be put to shame. If we do what he told us to do, if it's his word, you will not be put to shame. Whether it's being born again or in any area. If we put our reliance on the word, it will work. Period. It has been tried. It's already right. Verse 12, "There is no distinction between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call on him." He's rich to us when we call on him. We say, "Lord, I need you. I need direction. I need your word. Lord, show me." His word is the answer. And with his spirit, he will quicken the word and he will show you what you need to do in your specific situation. Verse 13, "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord," what? "Shall be saved." Amen. Now we talked about this several weeks ago. We were on a series on healing. That word "saved" there is the same word that's translated when you say, "See with a woman the issue of blood, that her faith made her whole." It's sozo. It means wholeness. It means wellness in every area. This applies everywhere. "Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Go down to verse 17. "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Look at the other translations on your sheet. The New Living Translation says, "So faith comes from hearing," that is, hearing the good news about Christ. The God's Word translation says, "So faith comes from hearing the message, and the message that is heard is what Christ spoke." Just look on your sheet, John 1, verse 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." Verse 14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus is the Word. Amen. Jesus has always been. Amen. He is God. Yes. And he is the Word. The Bible says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus was the embodiment of God in the flesh and walked, and he was the will of the Father in action. Jesus said, "I come only to do your will." And he said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." Jesus is the Word. And the Word of God we have written down is truth, is God, is him. So when you go back, look on your sheet, Romans 10:17, the God's Word translation. "So faith comes from hearing the message. The message that is heard is what Christ spoke." Here, and this is talking about being born again, what Jesus said, but this applies everywhere. In all situations, as far as the word, what you have to hear. But it's important what you hear and then do. It's got to be the Word of God. The Word of God, not what somebody said about the Word of God. See, those are two very different things. But what does it say? Look on. Look at verse 14 or verse 13. Romans 10, verse 13, we just read, "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they not believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they not hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent?" So this process here is the same for any area. In order to do the word, see, it's talking about doing the word in the area of salvation. In order to do the word, you need what? It says you need to believe. How are you going to believe unless you've heard? How are you going to hear unless you have a preacher, somebody to declare? You read the word as well. I mean, if you come across the word and hear it, that's the same thing. You can declare it to yourself. But verse 15, how shall they preach unless they're sent? Well, you and I, all of us are sent. Jesus told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. But just like to be born again, you need to have the word. Somebody needs to be sent. Well, we already are. The word of God, how do we get the Bible? People have already, you know, we talk about the new covenant. They already, they wrote down as they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. That those words have already gone forth. Apostle Paul was a sent one. Apostle means to send. It means to be a sent one. Well, you have the apostles and the prophets. That we already have those people sent to share with us the word of God. And then today we have people, same thing, to illuminate our minds, to direct us to the word. It's a supernatural thing that God uses people, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, to illuminate. It's not the man. It's supernatural what's going on. The Holy Spirit is working, illuminating what God is saying in His Word and by His Spirit. It's a supernatural thing. That goes on as well. But we need to have that illumination either through the Word coming, being directed to the Word, but then, so we need the preacher so that we can hear. So that what? Verse Romans 10, 17 says, faith comes by what?
Hearing.
And by the hearing the word of God. You need to hear the right word. When you hear the right word, faith is automatically there. And then it says, how are they going to call on the name of the Lord unless they believed, which means the less they've heard. So then the calling, that's the doing, comes after the hearing of the right thing. Now, that doesn't just apply to salvation. It applies to everything. How are we going to get the change in a given area? If there is an area in our life that needs help, what's the answer? God's word and His plan is the answer. How are we going to act? We're going to need to hear, we're going to need to believe something in order to act. We're not going to, how are we going to believe? Well, faith, see, believing is faith. Faith is believing. How are we going to have faith? It's going to come by hearing the right thing. Because then I can do it. If I don't hear the right thing and I go and do and hear the wrong thing, I could get faith in something that's not God, go do that. But what's the end of that? That's not the word of God. So what are the results? Not the same. You with me?
Yes.
So we need to hear the word. We need to know what the words, not what somebody said about the word. Did you hear me?
Yes.
People go into the weeds hearing something about the word. And they say, well, so-and-so said. And when I look at them and it looks like everything's going what? You don't know what's going on behind the scenes. Always, whether it's me or anybody else, you come back to the word.
Amen.
And then you say, not Jim said, you say the word said.
Amen.
Thank God we have people that help us to see more about the word. Thank God for them. We honor men, but we don't reverence them like the word of God. People can help us, but they're not God, and their words are not the word of God. We need to know what the Word says. Then you take that to the bank. That is purified. That will stand. That will stand in any situation. His words will. But how are we going to act? The doing will come after hearing, after believing, and after hearing the right thing. See, faith is there when you hear the Word of God. Now you have to choose. Do you know faith? Faith comes, but you know you need to act. It's a choice to act in faith. Did you realize that?
Yes.
What's the context of this verse? It's being born again. How many people have heard the Word about Jesus, that He is the Savior of the whole world, that He died for their sin, that He's already paid the price, and what you need to do is receive Him to have your sins washed away and to become right with God? If we listen to the Word and what the Word says, faith was there when they heard it. But some people will say, go ahead. Brandon will take that out.
I know. I don't. I'm not good with this. Oh, I
know. Got it. So people, come back with me. People will hear the Word of God. Right? What were you saying? Got another one?
Well, I haven't.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. I have trouble muting it. I don't.
Here you go.
I know. It's new to me. Thank you.
That's all right. That's all right. Pastor Hagin used to say, you know, we're spoiled in this day and age. You know, they'd have one room church houses, not one main room like this. One room. So you got everybody in the same room. You know, we think a kid cries and it's like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? He goes, I learned to preach like that. He goes, so stuff does not, you just preach through anything. Amen.
Amen.
So we are saying, though, that God's word concerning salvation, people hear it. They hear that Jesus is the Savior of the whole world. That if you would call on Him, you could be saved. So we know by the Word that faith was there, right? Faith comes by hearing. If they're hearing the Word of God, faith was there, right?
Yeah.
But you know, they can do nothing with it. Hear the right Word and do nothing. So we need to hear the right thing, but then we have a choice whether we're going to do something with it or not. Amen. But we need to hear the right thing, and then we need to act on it. And I don't want to get, you know, I want to touch on this. We're not going to go too far, because really what I wanted to emphasize was hearing. We talked about hearing, but you got to be doing the right thing, which means your hearing's got to be based on the Word of God. His words, doing His word, is what's going to get us to be blessed. If you leave with one thing today, it's not just doing. Okay, we talked about hearing, but it's not all about hearing. But if you just start doing and saying, oh, well, I heard that. Oh, a preacher said it. Okay, I'll do it. Or, oh, I read a book, and it says to do this, so I'm going to do it. I'm going to be a doer. What are you doing? Is it the Word? You need to know that the Bible said it, and then run from there. Amen.
Amen.
Then do it. Then stand on that. And so let me close with this, wind up with this. This, though, you doing that, see, some people draw a line and they'll say, no, I can't. But that's the hard part. Tell me what happens when we hear the Word. What comes?
Faith.
Tell me about, are God's words purified?
Yes.
Are they settled?
Yes.
Are they right?
Yes.
Forever.
So if we are hearing the Word, and faith is there, And His words are right. Some people say, well, but I can't do that. So at this point, we have to know if what He said is right, and He told us to do it, then we can do it and agree with Him. And by His strength and His grace, we can do it. Because His word's settled. Let me just read this. T.L. Osborne, in his book, Healing the Sick, he was talking about laying hands on the sick here. And that's the context, but listen to what he said. He said, any believer can lay hands on the sick. And the promise is, they, the sick, shall recover. The Bible says, Mark 16:15, if you lay hands on the sick, they will or shall recover. But he said, a believer does more than merely agree that the word is true. A believer is one who acts on the word. They're talking about acting on the word, not something else, right? Not just, I heard this and somebody said it and I'm going to try it. No, we're talking about the word of God, the tried, true, purified word of God that's settled forever. This is some of the best news you're ever going to hear. Right here. If we know His word said something, and we know it's settled, it's not a doubtful thing. And we're not talking about what somebody said about the word. We're saying, the word says this. I can go to the word, I can see, yep, that's what the Bible says. That's what the context is saying. You know how you interpret the Bible? You know how you interpret Scripture? With other Scriptures. You don't interpret the Scripture with what somebody is saying currently. Well, in 2017, we now know this. If it contradicts Scripture, it's wrong. You don't interpret Scripture based on what somebody's saying. You don't interpret Scripture based on what somebody said. You interpret Scripture, you look at that going, well, that looks like it's saying this. Well, what do other Scriptures say? And you get a whole picture. And you say, no, this is what God's saying. That's how you divide it. You don't divide it based on, well, this guy said this, and this guy said this, and this guy said this, so I believe this. That's not how we interpret Scripture. That'll get you confused. You won't know what you believe. No, you see the Bible, you say, this is the Word. I see this. God is saying this. See, it's not then a person saying it. God is saying it. It will work then. It's purified. You don't have to worry about it working. Will work. He said, a believer is one who acts on the Word. God never tells us to do something we cannot do. He said, obtaining the fulfillment of His promise is more a matter of obedience than of conscious faith. See, so many people are trying to say, oh, I'm going to try to believe. No, it's not that. What did it say? If He said it, then you say, all right, I'm going to do it. And then I don't move, regardless of what it said. No, He said it. I'm going to do it. See, that's just believing that what He said is true. It's not about like, well, let me try to have faith. See, people have missed it there. It's an act of obedience rather than conscious faith. Faith is doing what God tells us to do, then expecting to do what He tells us He will do. Did you hear me? I'm going to read it again. Faith is doing what God tells us to do, then expecting God to do what He tells us He will do. Isn't that what Romans 10 says? If you will call on the name of the Lord, you will be saved. Somebody looks at it and goes, I don't know. I mean, but faith is there, and they're thinking this is their what other people have said, and they're looking, they're going, I don't know. But if they'll step out and say, Lord, You said I would be saved, they step out, something happens on the inside, they're born again. It's the same way with every area. Did you hear me?
Yes.
If what we said in James 1, verse 22, be doers of the word, the doer is blessed. Well, would He tell us to do something we just couldn't do?
No,
He'd be unjust. He tells us to do something, we say, I don't understand it. What if the person that was born again said, well, I just don't get how Jesus could die and it, you know, say it could just pay for all these billions of people. I just don't understand. Until you can explain that to me, I'm sorry, I just can't become born again. You know what people are trying to do a lot of time? They're trying to convince the person the Bible is true and debate them. That's not what the Bible said to do. The Bible says preach the gospel.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not saying you can't have an intelligent conversation with somebody, but so many people are looking for a way around stuff instead of, God said it, I believe it, here we go. That's when things happen. But what if the person said, well, I just don't know. I mean, I got to figure this out. They could spend their whole life and go to hell. You know, it's the same in every area. Just because if the word comes in an area, our job is to say, you said it. What if your mind says, I can't do it. I've never been able to do it. What do? Shut up. God said I could do it. Either he's wrong. No, seriously, either he is wrong. Unjust, or his word is what it says it is, it's purified, it's true, and if he said I could do it, you know, have you ever had your, you know, growing up, your parent told you you can do it, and you said, I can't do it, I can't. They said, no, you, or a coach or something, you can do it. I can't do it, I can't, I've tried. You can do it. Well, maybe they know something you don't know. Would God tell us to do something we couldn't do? Now, I didn't say we're going to do it in our own strength. We're going to do it and say, God, I don't see how. But you said it, and I believe you. And here we go. And I believe you're going to do what you said you're going to do. If you're a God of your word, you're going to do it, and here we go. Faith is doing what God tells us to do, then expecting God to do what he tells us he will do. Noah built the ark. God flooded the earth. Noah did not flood the earth. Right. He built the ark. I don't know. I mean, that's a pretty good accomplishment right there with the tools they had and everything. Yeah. But he did what God told him to do. What if he said, there's no way I'm building an ark. I don't know what that is. I can't do it. Moses stretched out the rod. God parted the waters. Joshua marched around the walls of Jericho. God pushed them down. Elijah smote the waters. God parted them. Elisha threw the stick in the river. God made the iron to swim. Naaman dipped 7 times. God healed the leprosy. Naaman did this exact thing. The first his first response was, why didn't he tell me to go in a good river? As if that would make a difference. Dipping water over your leprous skin is not going to help you. I don't care what the water is. And he was ticked. He's like, he just left and was like, this is stupid. I'm not doing that. And he came to his senses. You know, he had his servant to say, you know, maybe we ought to do. If he would have asked you to do go in a good river, you would have done it. Maybe we ought to do that. Naaman a little while later said, well, I think we ought to go do that. But his first response was, I don't get it. I'm not going to do it. And tell me what his result was at that point. What if he would have just decided he doesn't understand why you would go dip like that and I'm not going to do it? What would his result have been? But what did he do? He changed and he said, all right, I'm going to do it. God healed him. He didn't have to do that. Jesus said, as the believer who will lay hands on the sick, it's God who will make them well. See, you know what? Even there, people are thinking, I got to have this. I just got to really try real hard and do it. And then the person's going to be healed. That's not what the Bible said. You just boil it down to this right here. I remember this changed for me at one point because I grew up hearing about healing, but it was kind of cloudy. It's like we're supposed to believe in healing, but I just, you know, and I know this and the mishmash of scriptures. And this one point where I saw Jesus said, if you lay hands on the sick, they will recover. That is a word of God. He said, if this, then this. And we'll come to it thinking, I gotta feel it. Basically, I got to feel it before I play. Now, you got to believe. That's not the same as feeling it. And when I just started to say, Lord, you said that, I don't have to feel a certain way. I'll go through those scriptures and quote them to get my mind ready. Nope, that's true. And then it's the same thing as somebody getting born again. Let me ask you, if you told somebody, you know, if Jesus is the Savior, and if you'll call on him, he'll be saved, would you go, if they said, well, I don't feel it. I don't feel like it's going to happen. What would you say? Well, it doesn't have anything to do with it. It's already done. Your job is to believe it. His job is to change it. But we're saying, oh, I got to believe that it's going to work this time with healing. I got to believe it. And then, no, It's just like what he said. It's more obedience. We're talking about doing the word. The word, if you know what the word is, and it could be that simple right there. You think it's so hard. I got to know all these 50 scriptures to get. No, no. If you say that, Jesus said that. They're in red letters. He said, if you lay hands on the sick, they will recover. You can lay hands on yourself. And he said, they'll recover. Okay? There we go. I'm doing it, and you know what? I'm done. Therefore, now I'm in recover mode. Now I'm in recover mode. He said it. Well, you don't see anything happening. That's not what it said. It's happening. And I'm not moving. See, the doer of that word will be blessed. Not the one, well, I just don't know, and drop, well, I don't see anything in 3 days. What does that have to do with anything? See, that's walking by sight. That's walking by what I see rather than he said it. If Jesus said it and it's purified and I know that, and that's not 50 scriptures, that's one. Anybody can understand that. Make it simple. The devil will try to get you confused. Make it simple and say, Jesus said, if I lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. That's it. Either that's true or not. Is that word purified or not? Is that word settled or not? See, the word, the person that does it will be blessed. Does what? Is that working up something? I'm going to do it. No, it's just saying, God, you said it. I'm doing it, and I'm sticking to that. See, that's exalting his word above our feelings, his word above our understanding, his word above our experience. And that's when the results come. That's when we're blessed. Hallelujah. His word and acting on that.